Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
To your original question, how do we manage that kind of, the anger and the patience? I just yelled at you.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
What's up? It's Iceman.
And today we have two very, very special guests, or not that special, depending on who you talk to. But they are Ben and Darcy Limo, a.k.a. my parents.
Boom.
They created this.
That's a plug.
Is it if I go like that?
You want to plug your...
if I go like that, that's like a plug.
Oh, that's a plug for Heineken.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You want to plug your tax services?
No.
Okay.
No.
Behind the curtain.
Darcy is a banker. Former banker.
A former banker, yes.
Currently, you work in the management sector.
I'm an accountant. So senior.
I'm an accountant.
Wow, see, there it is.
I'm an accountant, damn it.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. So you're both accountants.
Yes, we are.
Any other credentials you'd like to add?
Well, if she's a senior.
Mother.
If she's
mother,
a senior, isn't a senior,
wife,
is that someone over
50? Sister.
Yeah.
Sister.
That is, well, she wouldn't be a senior then.
She gets discounts.
Yes, on my own tax work.
Yeah.
Oh, you do. That's right.
So I apologize in advance for this episode. My dad is drinking a Heineken, and everyone else is just going to have to be in this world.
That's right.
Oh.
All right. Well, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
We brought you on because we would like, our show is called Shit They Don't Tell You. And it's all the shit that we wish they would have told us in school or somewhere along the way, but they didn't. So we had to figure it out ourselves the hard way. And I'm sure there's many topics that you guys probably had to learn the hard way that no one gave you a manual for. And I thought it'd be interesting to have you on the show and we could talk about what those things were regarding, I don't know, raising children, perhaps.
No manual.
Yeah. We'll start there. Zero textbook. What is like one of the biggest things that you learned raising children that you wish you could go back and tell your previous self?
They take a lot out of you. It's definitely...
That's true. It comes right out of you.
No, it came right out of you and then out of me.
Oh, so it came out of both of us.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It took a lot.
Teamwork. And no drugs. Yeah, it was hard. But no, and it, you know, your happiest moments and your saddest moments and your toughest moments on... And every child, whether you raise them exactly the same or not, they're different. And so there's no manual that says, oh, yeah...
With this type,
whatever type that is, you just don't know. And so you have to reteach yourself to try to raise that child because mm-hmm. they're different
than yeah, the first one.
Than the first one.
But I think back then, going forward, there's always these texts on how you should raise kids and
I was to gonna follow, ask you about that.
To follow things in. But back then, that wasn't mainstream type stuff.
Mm.
You just did it.
Was there anything that you read that you thought would prepare you for kids? Yeah, like
no, our advantage was that we actually took care of kids at a young age. I took care of Nisi. I was 11 when she was born.
That's my cousin.
Yeah, coming from a large Filipino family, and that was the oldest niece.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was born in 1973, and I was 11. And so, no knock on my sister, but she was a young teen mother, and she'd take off, and we'd be left watching her
at 11,
wow. And changing diapers the old way. There was no Pampers. There was safety pins and cloth diapers.
Oh, so you had to actually
poke yourself in the finger so you wouldn't poke her in the belly. And although that did happen a lot, getting poked in the belly, we learned those things. So I think and Mom took care of Auntie Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, your mom didn't have that book. Not to know, not to leave the house and like go party and stuff.
That's Tita, right. Your sister, know. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Hey, no, her mom probably definitely didn't have the book.
Yeah. Your mom didn't
she
have the
probably
book.
Just yeah. could write the book. It's a one page. See you later. Yeah. I'm going.
What if that book existed? She would have read and go, I probably shouldn't go party time. I guess.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. So I think that was our education. Was we had the benefit of actually taking care of a baby at that age, and then that carried over naturally when we had you. And although we didn't have the safety pins and the cloth diaper, we probably didn't want to poke you.
Well, I'm thankful for that. Thank you for not poking me and having all that practice.
Well, another a difficult thing was that our backgrounds are so different.
Like,
you know,
culturally?
Culturally. And the way he was raised by a Navy officer, very strict. And I was raised by hippies, a surfer dude and a...
promiscuous woman.
They were loose. But they were, you know, hippies. So
yeah, hang loose.
We
yeah.
were.
She would make her own granola.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Mm. Rice cakes and granola, and on a health kick, yogurts and stuff like that. Where he came from a family that was very strict and
I couldn't afford yogurt.
You had to say yes. You had to
traditional.
Say, traditional. Yes. Yeah. And so coming together, raising children. You know, I only know how we were raised. He only knew how he was raised. Mm-hmm. And somehow we had to come together and, hey, there's some compromises. I'm not going to raise our kids with a really strict hand. And
that opinion would fall on what Nikki would have to say was what was strict. So, you know.
Well, and that was the tough part because you were very strict on her.
Me?
And I would have to try to calm you down because I was more of a, hey, it's not a big deal type thing.
Yeah, I got yelled at for cracking a peanut wrong.
Yeah.
Mom should never have done that to you.
I wasn't even in the room. So
yeah, it was you and Uncle Butch.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in San Francisco.
Really?
Yes.
It was traumatizing. So I remember everybody telling
me. San Francisco.
About wrapping a present wrong.
Well, yeah, true. So I don't remember that.
Anyway. In these moments, are you thinking about this is formative, this is like that, or are you just living your life?
You're
just doing
what we can.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I'm most worried about is because I think I got more of his impatience and temper. And so how did you kind of manage, patience, I guess, with children? I don't think I could. I'm worried about that the most, that I'm just going to, because I kind of get frustrated with, my cat sometimes or, Steve sometimes my own self sometimes. So
even just noises.
Yeah, any noises.
Air conditioner noise.
Yeah, maybe, something drops and I just get, yeah.
I think I manage patience better now than I did then.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Archer's lucky. Although, Archer gets some action.
Grandson.
Archer gets some action. He's a lot like you in that he'll
try to push the limits.
He's hard-headed. Mm-hmm. But to your original question, how do we manage that kind of, the anger and the patience? I just yelled at you. But I didn't hit you.
That's
true. I never did. I never did. I would hit myself if I grab you and hit my hand to make you think you got hit. I don't know if that ever
you
worked.
Would also snap the belt a lot. It was it seems very scary, but we didn't get
here's how
nothing
I did
happened.
It. Here's how I managed it. I know growing up.
He didn't manage to
I know for me growing up.
He would leave the house.
All I had to hear was footsteps, right? My father's footsteps. And because we lived in a hardwood floor, old 60s house. His footsteps, you could hear them coming. And so being a family of six, and I would hear that and I'd kind of just stop and know that fear managed me.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So that's how I was going to manage you and Dane. I'm going to make them fearful of me that...
Accomplish that. Yeah.
To let them know, hey, this is what's going to happen to you, and without saying this is what's going to happen to you, but to let them know, because then they would fear me and then obey me. It didn't work on mom. But that's how I did it, because here's the book that
like
we
I said.
Used, that I would have used or did use, is that you teach the way you learned.
Mm.
So if I learned
back to my point.
By getting... Right. Belted all the time, and I did get belted and put in a C bag and hung. You didn't get that, but I still have the C bag to remind myself.
Wait, do you want to tell that story?
Oh, I can. That's how I manage. Oh, okay, I can do that. I can. Do you want me to tell it now?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you know the story?
I know it very well. You talk about it all the time.
Okay, yeah, I was pretty. I was
so just give some background on the way that my dad was raised.
My mentality.
Yeah.
And how I handle things. It's no wonder I'm not a murderer.
honestly, yeah, I think that you've. After that background, the way that you have been able to not...
to navigate?
Yeah, to navigate that afterwards and not revert to the way that you were raised.
I think comedy was laughter is how I managed not being a nut job, because you just had to laugh about stuff. But the story is I was not a well-behaved child. I stole the change out of my mom and dad's... bureau or purse or whatever.
The thing that would make a man.
I did do things and then heard the footsteps, so stopped. And then everybody else got in trouble. So, I got away with things, put it that way. But I didn't get ready away with whatever I did this time. And I was less than 100 pounds and not even 5 feet tall. I'd say 4'10 at 10th grade, which is growing up. 13, 14 years old, so I wasn't very big in stature. So I fit in my dad's sea bag, which is about, if you've been in the Navy or the military, it's a duffel bag. And it has a hook on the top and a latch. And so it's like a belt that goes from the bottom to the top that you hold on your shoulder. And it's a canvas bag. And it's probably only, 4 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide to just stuff your clothes in. Well, I fit in that.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever I did, my father stuffed me in there and said, I'm going to put you in the oven. And he hung me out on the palm tree in the backyard.
But it was so baking hot. It was so hot outside.
So I'm inside there and I get to ask this question all the time. Dude, what did you think? And I'm going, well, I guess this is what the oven looks like. So there's how I managed being not a nut job, is by laughing about the whole thing. I don't know how long I was in there.
You got put in there because you didn't say yes.
No, that's a different story.
Oh,
of not saying yes and how I learned to say yes and how I passed
instead
on.
Instead of yeah.
Instead of yeah or what.
Yeah, it's how I passed that on to Nikki and Dane. Now, they didn't fit in that sea bag, so I couldn't use that method. But yeah, that was a different, story of discipline.
Hmm.
If you'd like to hear that story.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes,
oh, you want me to continue on?
Of course.
Oh, so this time.
I never got disciplined.
By this time, I got.
Opposite backgrounds.
I got pulled out of the sea bag. Still fit in it because I was 13 years old and, 4'10" and 97 pounds. I don't know what. My dad would go. We lived in Long Beach and he was in the Navy. And he would be stationed in San Diego the whole week, Monday through Friday, and come home on the weekends. So growing up, he would be in around the world, Vietnam, China, Hong Kong, Philippines, or whatever. So we only saw him every couple of years. So here was the time now we had, although it was a shorter period of time, that instead of 2 years, now it was only 5 days we didn't see him. But he still, I think, loved me the most. Because what he used to say is, I hit you because I love you.
Okay.
Wow. And so he loved me the most, though.
Yeah.
So.
No kidding.
This time, whatever I did, he asked me a question. I said, yeah. And he smacked me.
Oh.
What did you say? I said, yeah. Is you don't say yeah. And he smacked me again. By this time, I realized
what Did you know that you were saying something wrong?
Yes. By this time, I knew what he was getting at. He said, you say yes. You say yes, sir, to me. You don't say yeah. That's not how you respond to your father. I go, yeah, okay. Wham. And he just kept wailing on me after that point. But I deserved it because I kept not saying yes. And so I was taking this beating. And, you know, it wasn't just a literal bam, bam, bam. You know, say yes. No, I'm going to say yes. So I just laid down there and took whatever beating and how long it happened. And then I finally realized, you know, maybe you should just say yes.
So you were being rebellious.
Probably 15 minutes or 20, but that's a long time to take a beating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like there must have been a reason you thought that was worth it. Like,
you know, championship fights like, you were 40 minutes.
Choosing that spot to rebel. Like, maybe you didn't feel like you had much control. No, why would you choose that spot to rebel?
No, I don't know why I didn't choose the spot, but yeah, the occasion. I guess I did choose it. It was just like, dude, I'm standing up for me. I was like, no, I'm not being, you're not going to bully me, because we grew up in a neighborhood where there were bullies and you had to take, you know, stand up for yourself. And, you know, that was just my rebellious nature to be that way. And damned if your little nephew, Archer, is not that way. you know, I'm teaching him the same thing. So with the kids, it was when they said yeah or huh, I would always, what would I say to you, Nikki, if you said yeah or huh to me?
You'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I think you'd be like, excuse me? Or
I used to tell them, huh, what, huh? You say yes, pardon me.
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah, you say yes.
You say yes, pardon me. Huh? I don't understand you when you say things like that.
But then her side would make fun of us, because we would be like, pardon me? And they're like, pardon me?
Yes, that's true. They would do that, but
we couldn't win.
You couldn't win. And but now today.
That's why she's crazy.
Yeah.
But also too, growing up, maybe you said, okay, I'm not going to take the beating my dad took for not saying yes or saying pardon me. But other people saw, strangers saw your character, and in their own minds, they would say, oh, what a good kid. You know, it says yes. And Dane has actually had that happen to him when someone came up to him and said, you know, as an adult, you know, you're so well-mannered. And we couldn't, you know, wear a hat while we're eating. And if you see when I'm eating, as I always wear a Dodger hat. Unfortunately, the Dodgers didn't win this year. Ouch. So, you know, it hurts. So I burned it.
Had a shave now?
So I don't wear it at all. No, but you had to take off your hat when you ate. So that's why I always take off my hat when I eat. So having those manners, other people do see them and they appreciate it. And Dane has been told by strangers, hey, that was very nice that you did that. Because I guess that parent tried to get their kids to take off their hat, you know, stuff them in a sea bag, and you know.
But see, this is where I agree with the concept that I think that you have to discipline your children in some way in order to get them to train them to be polite and well mannered, and it does give a solid foundation for them working well in society. But maybe you learned that you didn't have to, because you didn't ever beat us. And yet we still turned out well-mannered.
Yeah.
So
you're welcome. Maybe I didn't have to do that.
I think that kids and teenagers are always pushing the limits to, they're still figuring out, like, how much can I get away with? You know, I'm trying to learn my individuality. Mm-hmm. How much do I stick up for myself? Mm-hmm. In what situations is it okay? How far can I go? And with your dad, it's like, okay, well, in your neighborhood, you had to stick up for yourself to some degree, because otherwise you're going to get beat up by a bully. Mm-hmm. But with your elders, you have to learn, like, well, you don't do that with your elders. And, you know, your dad's way was hitting you physically, but your way was, you know, just being strict.
Fear.
Verbally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you didn't need to. Yeah, you didn't really need to.
Yeah. My physical disciplining of your kids was the volume of my voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I purposely did that. I knew I was doing that because that was how I hit you. you know, in essence.
Yeah. That was how I hit you. And he loved me the most.
I still do. Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there a moment for you, though, where it's like, you know, as a kid, are you like, I will never do this to my kids? And then you follow through on that?
No. I think there was. I think there was. When that moment occurred, I don't know. But I think there was. As I said, I purposely handled them the way I handled them from my end of it because of that.
Because I would say listening to half of our listeners from like what they tell us when we do mail shows, like corporal abuse has been part of a lot of childhoods out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Especially in Asian cultures.
Well, in our age group, in elementary school, there was a paddle hanging on the wall. In elementary school. So you knew back then you can get swapped by your teachers. And the parents, they said right on. Because right. The way our neighborhood was, when you're done, when the neighbor was done spanking you, mom and dad came home and you got another one. Mm. So you got one at school, you got one from your neighbor, and you got one from your parents. So that's the true village.
They all had to
And I've always, when I've heard, it takes a village to raise a child. Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. You know, but... In the way we grew up, yeah, it really was like that. Yeah. Because, and then at some point, corporal punishment in school stopped.
Again, it goes back to how you were raised and in your neighborhood and area because
sure,
my elementary school has never had the paddles. And I'm almost the same age as you. Children actually need that line drawn.
Sure, yeah.
And so you do have to put your foot down some way or another.
And I think that's... I think your question is actually more in line with hers or with her childhood. Was there something that your parents did that you were like, I will never do this with my kids? And I think you had told me before because your mom was more of a friend, I'm not your mom. I'm your friend like that.
Especially when I got a little bit older. I mean, I love my mom dearly, but she wanted to be more of our friend. And some moments I needed a mom.
Yeah.
You know? But she did discipline us a couple of times, but it was on stuff like don't talk with your mouth full or don't chew with your mouth open. And we'd get the flick on
the mouth.
I've
gotten that from
her. Yes.
If I got any physical abuse, it was this one. Yeah. Flicking me on the mouth. Yeah.
But, or if I screamed. Right.
The things that happen when I'm not there.
Yes. Huh. I did not like the scream.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a...
Mm-hmm. I got a flick from that.
Yeah.
You should come to my sister's house and parent over there for a fucking week, please.
What happened?
I can't even have a phone conversation with my father without, like, banshee screaming in the background. I think everyone's broken over there. I think they gave up hope. But enough about that.
But see, that's the thing is that I am constantly, I'm very appreciative. And also I respect parents. Like, it's not an easy job, but I don't know where I would, how I could manage that line. Because I wouldn't want to traumatize my kids, but I also know that you need some kind of discipline because I could not handle some screaming kids 24/7 and then knowing that they're out creating chaos at someone else's house when they're not at my house because they weren't disciplined, you know? So, that's a hard line.
What are you guys' thoughts on the fact that Nikki and I may not have children?
It's fine with me. I mean, it's your life. I'm not bummed or anything to say, oh, shit, you know, Nikki's coming up on, 40 years old. You know, she's
We're not begging you guys to have kids.
I've never felt pressured.
No.
I actually feel...
But this make for a good thumbnail and title if you guys were going to confront us really a little bad. Bit about it.
Oh.
You understand? If you guys wanted to confront us about it a little bit, it would help juice the title of the video.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I was actually horrified to learn that a lot of my friends' parents, like, pressure them to have kids and they don't really want to, and they kind of like got imprisoned because they just felt like they had to.
Well, my interpretation of pressuring anyone really, and what I've seen is it has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
So you're going to pressure, hey, you got to have a kid, you got to have a kid just for that, the rebellious thing. Mm-hmm. Just for, I'm not going to have a kid just to bug you, you know. But with you and Dane growing up, you know, all we ever told you is, you know, do what you want to do and we'll support you with whatever you decide to do. You know, we'll help you out as much as we can if we can. And if we can't, we'll let you know that we can't. So having kids, you know, we're not going to you don't want to have any? Hey, that's a fine. You know, let's have
that
fun.
That child will be alive a lot longer than us.
Yeah. Same with Dane. So, you know, he's got a kid. You know,
is there anything that you would have done differently had you not had kids so early? Because I was not planned. Yeah. I was not planned, and that it's okay. Correct. I was loved, but not planned.
And you guys were very young.
Very young.
Maybe young for today's age. You mean to have kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, young for today's age. I was 24. Mom was 22. But our age group, heck, my sisters and brothers had kids at 17 years old. So we were old, in my opinion.
Obviously, it was something that was meant to be because, honestly, I was never the type of person that just wanted to have a child so badly. I just want to get married and have a I wasn't like that. I was perfectly fine living my life. We've been together for 3 years before the oops came along.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think of any way I would have done anything differently. We loved each other. Yeah. So
no, I'm not saying regrets. I'm just saying, what do you think your
life would be like?
Well,
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
If we stayed together before we got married or after we got married, because
would you have stayed together?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what would have happened. At that time, no, we wouldn't have broken up.
Right.
Dating for 3 years.
I would ask the other girl.
But what if down the line,
something happened? There wasn't anything forcing you guys to stay together.
I did in the beginning.
I mean,
what are you laughing at over there?
I don't know.
Huh?
The other girl. I was second choice.
Let's delve into that.
So we met in child development class in college.
You want the truth or the first story?
Both.
Oh, okay. Yes. I'll let you have her story.
Both stories.
The truth will come out.
Okay. And he actually asked me out on a date or asked me out to a game. But he asked this other girl out first and she turned him down. I didn't know about that until later. And she was the girl that sat in front of me. So he was like going down the line.
Yeah, pretty much.
I just happened to sit in the second desk.
I was the only dude in the class, really, because it was a child development class. And I always tell people we grew up together.
Yeah, that, we did.
There's our book.
Yeah.
That's how we learned. It was child development.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything out of that. I got to pass no time.
So we'll,
go ahead. Finish your story. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll move into relationships, you know, like. How did that start and what was your experiences otherwise?
We've been together ever since.
Yeah, so you met in a child development class and you were finger painting, right?
Well, we did. We actually, it's a class that went from birth to death. And so then we were going through the stages of the life. So we started out the baby age, you know, and would have the discussions. But then the teacher did this thing about, okay, now you guys are in preschool and kindergarten, and we would go to different sectors of the desks. This part of the desk was preschool, and we were finger painting, and we happened to be sitting across from each other finger painting. And you know, growing up as a surfer family, I painted a wave, and I just had moved back from Hawaii, so I was really ocean beach.
There's
whatever.
A lot of white people in Grossmont College, and I was like the brown guy there.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That's
very true.
But anyway, I painted a wave, and we were having like small talk, and he was painting a rose. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. But at the top, he said, to mom. And I was like, that is the sweetest thing.
Do you remember what the rest of that said?
Yes.
No, I'll tell you.
From your favorite son or something?
No, it wasn't from your favorite son. I said, to mom. Yes, that is true. I said, this is what you're paying for college for.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I milled
that's
it to
right.
her.
That's great.
That's right.
Finger painting.
So my mom only saw the two mom.
Yeah. That's all she saw. Yeah. She sees things she wants to see.
And he's
not the warning. Right
not
there.
The big picture. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and plus the draw was, I was really homesick for Hawaii.
Yeah.
And he looked the closest to Hawaii.
Fair.
So I asked him, are you from Hawaii?
That
and he said,
particular
yes.
day.
He lied to me.
That's true. She did ask it. And I was, and at first I said, yeah, I am today. I said, yes.
She's like,
yeah, exactly. Busted. I'll say yes.
Busted.
Careful.
Oh, yes. As I am today. And then, well, I don't know, 3 seconds later, I started laughing and said, no, I'm not. I'm not from Hawaii. I'm from L.A.
L.A. And once he said that, I went, oh. Back to my penis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's painting a wave.
Yeah.
Well, that particular day we had switched classes.
Yes.
If you remember, we had, for some reason, we didn't have our normal class, and she came in late, and
opened up the door, and everybody's already seated around in a circle-ish thing.
Yeah, it was about a circle.
I'm looking for an empty chair, none available except for this stack of chairs, and Ben actually jumped out of his seat, picked up a chair for me and put it down.
Yeah, I put it like, away from him, but she picked it up and moved it closer to me.
Right, there was a spider in his chair.
Yeah. And I just thought, God, that's very gentlemanly.
Yeah.
And I was only 19.
Lesson, guys. That's how you get her.
Hey, yeah. Legit.
Honestly, that's what I noticed about Steve was he was the first person that I ever dated or went on a date with or anything that was like had some etiquette. Yeah, etiquette, like yeah. Like would open the door, would walk on the outside, would like all the things that you told me to look for in a guy. I was like, those guys don't exist. I don't, my dad told me to look for these things, but they do not exist in the world. And then he did all those things and I was like, wow, like
your dad was right.
It's crazy how impressive, like the bar is so low, guys.
Right.
It's so low.
Look at me,
like
look at
just
me right
have
now.
Yeah. Some manners yeah. and you will blow
how
women's
like
minds.
Us yes. End up with something like
yes.
this.
Yeah,
and now I'm married to this. And I'm happy. Can
foolish.
You get that?
Yeah.
Well, look, it the work never stops too. You're like the idea that I did that to court you and now I don't do it. Like
right.
you do it every fucking day, no matter what. You don't even think about it. Like I don't even think about it. I don't even know that I'm doing it. I probably walk outside of you to this day when we go walking. I don't
he
even
does.
Know I'm doing it, honestly.
Yeah, you open the door for my car. Yeah, like it's you.
My favorite is that even if we're in an argument, and I remember one particular time she's taking my freaking head off about something.
No.
And oh yeah, she's
me?
Melting me, right?
No.
And I remember actually noticing that I was doing it because I thought it was kind of funny in the moment because like she's so pissed at me. And then she stands by the door waiting for me to get it. I get it. I open the door and I close it. Anyway. But like, you know,
you didn't
matter.
Open the door for her.
Of course. It doesn't matter.
Now
doesn't,
leave.
You're actually, supposed to do it.
One of our most epic arguments in the very beginning, the way
I
punished him
I remember this.
Was by paying the bill.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want me to ever pay the bill. Mm-hmm. And so the way I emasculated
you.
Him. Because we were.
She whips the card out like I've never seen before.
Yeah. And I was like, I got it. And then I left.
Oh.
Yeah, so she never secretly paid the bill and came back and waited for you to wait for the check?
No.
He did that.
I had done that.
Yeah.
I know. Then, I remember when he tried to do it to me, I already done it.
I know.
That was rough.
See,
was
that's
rough.
What I'm saying.
That's when I learned.
Welcome to the family,
hey,
Steve.
Steel sharpens steel.
He thought he was going to be cool. He's going, hey, where's the bill? What are you talking about? Bill?
Iron sharpens iron. I learned how sneaky you were then.
See? I was like, I'll never marry someone like my dad. And then he got your good traits, so, you know.
Does he yell at you?
No.
Do you say yes to him?
I don't think he's capable of yelling.
Oh.
It's so,
oh,
I'm
a
it's
yeller.
Bananas.
But not at you.
Yeah.
You're special. I won't yell at you.
Yeah,
you
are well, special.
I'm not proud of it either. It's not something I'm proud of. It's just that sometimes if shit gets wild, I just have to. You've seen me do it at Maker one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Even when you're yelling at people, it's really funny. Like you'll throw in like joke, like your rants are funny. Like you pull analogies and like.
Thank you.
In comparisons, like he was yelling at a guy for not getting. A NDA.
He gave away a release
form, and then he's talking about how we have like stupid fucking camera guys that are from art school that get B-roll shots of the fucking sky, and I don't need that in my video. And so it's funny. Like even when you're yelling, it's just like.
I was coming down on this guy for doing a stupid thing, and then pointing out all the other stupid things that he allows, just to really just give it to him because he deserved it.
Right.
Because I'm about to release this viral video. And I know if I don't have this release, I have to change it. And because at that point, everything I was putting out was pretty much like doing that because I had built this thing up. But then I was like fucking pissed that I, you know, because I did everything for real. So then I was like, damn it. Why do I work so hard if my fucking people are going to give this shit away? So,
you're working with a bunch of clowns.
Bunch of clowns.
Anyway,
at
the circus. We're going to go on a break really quick. When we come back, we're going to talk more things, more shit that they did not tell you that you wish they would have. When we come back. By whatever we tell you about.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blight.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Huge. Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back. Hi. We still have my parents here with us, if you're just joining.
That's what's like being on break.
I was lost in the break for a second.
My dad took too long of a break.
That's what it's like.
He's still on a break.
Is this what a break is?
Hey, by the way, you can help support the show if you check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/sticky. We do.
You get these episodes early, a couple days early. We do live streams once a month with both of us. We do free roll poker tournaments, and Steve does a crypto live stream once
crypto
a week.
Crypto Corner every Tuesday night. Check it out.
Check it out. All right. So even though you came from different cultural backgrounds, you kind of came from the same socioeconomic backgrounds, and then you had kids young. How was navigating finance life? Like, are there things that you know now that you would have told yourself back then to make life easier?
You want to answer first?
No, go ahead.
Oh. Fund your retirement and don't touch it.
Really?
Yeah.
So pay yourself first. So
pay yourself first. Yeah. They're 40 years later, I get the concept. But having a child and being 24 and back then, $8 an hour was a lot of money, you know, when minimum was two, three. And being a professional for the first time, having to put a suit on, you know, going to work 8 to 5. Yeah, I didn't know. I took things for granted that, yeah, you're supposed to get health care from your employer. You know, you should get that. And they did offer those things back then, as they still do today in my profession and in my employer. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. but fund your retirement. Pay yourself first. Have a budget. Mm-hmm. Fund the finance side of it. But it,
hey, Ben, if I'm listening right now, I'm in my mid-20s. How do I start that, like, in your opinion?
Ben Lemus, Neuro CPA. Give me a call. Santa Barbara, California. Sit down with you, and there's my plug.
Well, no, I think honestly, the first thing anybody needs to really understand is how credit cards work.
Yes.
And I think that in high school, they should actually have a good finance class.
I think they're doing that now.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
Oh,
I think there's requirements now. It may not be nationally mandated, but I think a lot of schools and school districts are implementing the fact that, yes, you have to have these minimum finance classes.
Well,
now.
We Financial had economics that was required in high school when I went to high school. Mm-hmm.
But what did they teach you?
Nothing, because it was taught by the basketball coaches who had to teach a class in order to coach basketball.
Yeah. Right.
And so they would just open the textbook. They'd say, it's an open book test. Right. And all the answers were already there. He would even give a practice test that had all the answers in it and it would be the same as the real test. Mm-hmm. So then the next day, you could, it's open book. You just look at all the answers from yesterday.
Are they still teaching cursive? And not financial literacy?
I think I've heard rumors that they're going to stop doing that, but the finance literacy is just unbelievable. I mean, it's different now, of course, because, you know, nobody writes a check anymore. And there's instant gratification now.
Some old schoolers here.
Some old people does.
Matter of fact, I didn't realize I had my checkbook in my backpack. When I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing with this.
Dying on the hill.
So
last man standing.
But so many people are... the instant gratification and go and impulsive buy and spend things more than what they can pay off. So then they just pay the minimum payment for your credit card, not really understanding that by the time you actually pay this off years down the line, that $20 or $100 purchase that you did that you had to have is now going to be $300 or
$1,000.
I should use a higher number, but... So
and don't worry about keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and we never did. We didn't.
Poor Nikki.
We didn't have any prospects of buying a house. That was, and though we were trying because in at the time that I moved up there, I had a client that was a developer, and in Santa Barbara back in the 80s up to that point, you couldn't develop. The county wouldn't let you develop because we had a water shortage, and that water shortage continues 40 years later.
Right.
But they built anyway, and a developer was developing a parcel that was going to be a community of X amount of houses, and his promise to me, if I supported that and went to the courthouse to give my opinion on, you got to, you know, approve this, was I get one of those, you know, and then we'd have to pay for it. But where were we going to come up with the $15,000-$20,000 down payment for even that, when it's, you know, kind of where we were put in the front of the line, because you still have to come up with the funds. But we had no prospects of that. And we did live week to week, paycheck to paycheck, bouncing checks, things like that. Even though she was in the banking field and I was a young accountant prior to becoming a CPA, you know, I didn't even finish my college yet.
You didn't have your license yet.
I didn't even have my degree.
Well, even if you know how to manage money, you have to have money to manage first.
And you've got to know how to manage it. Right, exactly. So manage your money. Make a budget. Yeah, it may seem hard.
It's hard. It is hard.
But you got to stick to it. And little victories count. You know, that old analogy of the sand pebble and the little rock and the big rock, but then you fill in the cracks. All that's
is this an ancient analogy?
It is an ancient analogy. It's Asian. you know, just, but
we're good at now.
Sure, yeah.
Stick,
got a lot
stick,
from that.
Stick to a budget. Don't worry about what the other guy's buying and whatnot.
I always laugh at my friends who are buying a lot of shit. All my friends buy cars, they buy fucking stupid watches and shit. I don't have a car. I sold it for crypto years ago. I bought a stupid Casio G-Shock because it made me laugh. I don't get the whole I have to do what my friends are doing thing.
I have a G-Shock.
Yeah, I'm actually so thankful that you guys didn't keep up with the Joneses because I never felt pressured to, even living in LA where like it's so about image and stuff. I didn't even know like what designers were the good ones to even try to buy whatever. And I had no desire whatsoever to do. I just learned even like a month ago that you're not supposed to like wear the same clothes every year. Like you're supposed to like have,
who says this?
You're supposed to update your wardrobe. But I mean, I buy new pieces every year, but I still wear the same clothes that I wore 7 years ago. Just continuously recycle. Someone was talking about it casually, so it sucks how guys can just wear the same clothes over and over, but girls can't be caught in the same outfit twice. And I was like, whoa.
That kind of thinking is more like you're caring what other people think.
Yeah, exactly. So
someone's and actually believing that someone's actually looking at you.
But that's
someone's
what keeping up with the Joneses is.
That's what I mean. Yeah. People who think that way are saying, girls can't wear the same thing. You have to rotate your wardrobe. You're already thinking in your head that someone's actually looking at me, so I need to impress them. I'm going to wear my shoes once and, have the Imelda Marcos closet and, a bunch of shoes in that you never wear.
Speaking of milestones, you guys, I think Nikki was like, 13 years old when you guys actually bought your first home?
Well, they bought the house, the actual house, when we was 13.
But it was a home.
But do you remember? The condo, I was 6 years old.
Do you remember the sacrifices leading up to that? Like what you were leaving off of your table to make that happen?
We were very fortunate that my parents gave us money for a down payment. And
for the condo.
And we were very fortunate that at the time a condo became available that mom Cece was the realtor for, and it was her best friend whose dad had passed away, and this was a community I don't know how many exist these days, but there were a lot back then of a 55 and over, and on the 55 and over community you can't have kids there. That was the rule. It was meant for 55 years old and older, but they had just lifted that requirement at this particular condo development. And this guy owned it. He was an ex-police officer, smoker, and just the walls were yellow and all that. And Cece and Papa fixed it up for us and painted it and cleaned it up. And Cece's friend, Dodo, was that her name? Or what was the sister's name?
Sunny.
Sunny was the... Sonny and Dodo were the names of Cece's friends.
Carol.
They called her Dodo for that reason.
Cece is my grandma.
And they offered it to us, so there was no bank financing involved. Seller financed it. We wouldn't have been able to afford it. We barely made probably... When I came up here to Santa Barbara, I had left on a Friday, looked on the paper on a Sunday, got a job on Monday for $8 an hour, right? I was like, that was big time for me, man. That was big time. So we didn't have any money, no savings whatsoever. And
so what we left on the table is we never went out and bought a brand new car.
No.
I was able to buy this Oldsmobile Battle Axe from my stepfather for $700.
Yeah, so we couldn't afford it.
Right after that was a hand-me-down car that I paid him like $1,000 for, but we never bought a new car.
There's a lot too. I think that I didn't realize till later, because you only know what you grew up with. You don't really, I wasn't comparing myself to anyone until later, where I found out like you and your family, and it's pretty normal for people to go to the movies all the time. Like going to the movies was a treat. Like it was very like a special occasion that we got to go to the movies. We didn't just go to every single movie all the time, and so there were things like that. I think we didn't go out much. We like
vacations.
Ate spaghetti. We ate like SpaghettiOs and like canned food. I didn't know we were poor.
And the extracurricular stuff from school.
Yeah,
I remember telling you guys that I don't care what musical instrument you want to learn, you want to learn how to play, you're going to learn how to play a musical instrument. And so you go, well, okay, I want to learn how to play the piano. Think of something else. How can you practice when we can't get a piano?
Yeah.
And then she said something else. I'm like, you know what? At your school, they're offering flute lessons.
Yeah. Practicality plays into effect.
Yeah. Whatever you want to learn. Yeah. It's the flute.
Mm-hmm. Whatever flute you want to play.
I wanted to learn saxophone, like, and it was too expensive. My parents were like, nah, it's too expensive. Yeah. And I was like, ah, shit. So I had to play trumpet. And I hated it because trumpet, who wants to play trumpet? Nobody.
Yeah. And so then I rationalized by, well, once you learn how to play an instrument, you learn how to read the music. So you can pick up another instrument when the time comes. But stuff like that, that, you know, they didn't really get a chance to do anything outside of a free school, you know, and hey, there's
huge. And we didn't go on big vacations.
We didn't go on big vacations.
Our first vacation was when she was 8 years old. We took her to Hawaii. And I had never been to Hawaii at that point. So it was a treat for me, you know, to go do something like that. And, you know, we stay at the budgeted
Pacific
type.
Pacific Monarch.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not there anymore.
It's called something else, but it is there.
Yeah.
But that was a big treat. And we struggled to in order to even get a show, because we wanted to go to a luau. Heck, you got to sit through one of those, you
timeshare.
Know.
It went to a timeshare.
Things.
Yeah.
And so I told the dude from the very beginning, dude, listen, this is my kid and my wife. We're not buying anything. All right, I'm going to tell you that right now. We're here for the tickets. So the dude was really cool about it. He's like, I hear you. I dig, but I got to go through the motions. Yeah, okay. I wish we had the $10,000 at that point, because it's right there smack in the middle of Waikiki.
Right. You know?
And at a perfect spot for $10,000 at that time, we couldn't even afford it.
Right. But going back to how we grew up, neither one of us went on big vacations.
Vacation.
My vacation was surfing safaris with Dad and sometimes his swim team.
Yeah. My
students.
Vacation was going up
camping.
From
camping, that was it.
Long Beach to San Francisco in the back of a station wagon, 8 hours to go visit my grandmother, where I got stuck in a garage shucking coconuts.
Oh man!
You don't have to do that.
Sounds
movement.
Great.
That was the motion.
I know, but
We didn't have that. We sacrificed a lot to upgrade, and we couldn't. The fact is, we couldn't afford it. And then housing markets, you know, were changing back in the late 90s. The tax laws changes. And our jobs got, you know, I was making $8.50
getting promoted.
$10 an hour. And, you know, even then, I think we were both combined making $60,000 an hour a year.
$60,000 an hour?
Combined.
Yeah, $60,000 a year.
You know, and then we had two kids. $60,000 a year. That
goes away quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes away. And that's gross, you know. And so then the housing market started to change around the 90s and tax laws changes. And so we were able to sell the condo, found this house that we still own today. We bought that in 1999. And that was a point where the housing market just barely turned from into the $300,000. Now it's, you know, who can afford anything?
Best movie
today?
Ever made.
Best movie we ever made. And even then we borrowed $5,000 from her dad, who we never asked that guy for money at all. And he said, sure, knowing that we would give it, because the deal was, once we sell the condo, I'll pay you back. And that condo sold very quickly. And so we give the $5,000 back. And then within a year, we paid back mom and dad with interest on top of that. And, you know, we were set. And at that point, we struggled still because you were 13 at the time, and it was new for us. Now we've got
a
bigger.
You were 13.
Yeah, and Dane was 8. And we were both kids, but we had a house now.
Yeah,
we had a house, and we still struggled a little bit because now maybe we were making $80,000 combined. But
that money, it doesn't feel good when it's like, man, this money's not going to somebody else. This is going into my equity.
Yeah. And even then, I didn't even think about it. Being equity that, oh yeah, you know, we're saving up for something here. It was, all right, we got a house and now how do we pay this? You know, because it went from what, 1300, I think we were paying to Sunny to 2400.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So $1,000 jump that, okay, yeah, we got the house. Mm-hmm. Now how are we going to pay for this? We were still playing credit cards. And then refinancing to pay off those credit cards and then being in another hole, you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, but then working things out and and learning how things work, and then refinancing out of that, and you know, being able to get the place in Hawaii. And
I don't know if you even remember this, but I think that the best thing that you guys both did, but I remember especially from you, Dad, was you explaining this stuff as you went. Like, it was very open conversations about finances. A lot of, like, everything was very open growing up. And I think I didn't know at the time that you were probably explaining it as you were learning it. But it stuck with me. So when I was a kid, you needed to borrow $5 and you would borrow it from my cash. I would save my allowance. I was really obsessed with, like, with saving a change jar and, like, putting dollars in there and, like, going to get a Happy Meal at McDonald's sometimes. And so I was like, I loved savings. And so one time you needed to borrow $5 and you took money from there. And when you paid me back, you gave me $6 and you taught me about interest. And you're like, whenever you borrow money, you have to pay interest. So when someone borrows from you, they have to pay you interest. And then I got really excited to start my own, my first savings account, because it had interest. And I learned, I've never not known about interest. I always knew about interest. And when I borrowed money from you later in life, I paid you back with interest. It was like the same concept.
I'll have to check my chip.
You should check. We'll talk about that. But then, yeah, then I remember when you paid off your credit cards, you told me, well, one, you said when you open a credit card, always pay it back right away, because you need to build your credit. So, you know, use it and use it to buy your groceries, things that you're going to buy anyway, and then immediately pay it back in cash, but never spend more than you have in cash. And so that you can build your credit, and then also you'll never get into debt. And if you do get into debt, like you were talking about, the way you paid it off was you paid 50% off each time. And that was how you got out of the hole. And you said, like, it's really hard, the initial 50%, and then, like, in the beginning it's hard, but then it gets really easy and it snowballs, and you can just, you know, get it out out of the way fast, because that interest is going to compile and compound and, like, really eat you alive. And so I was always terrified of interest and credit card debt, but also knew how to build my credit right off the bat. And that is something that we didn't learn in school. I specifically remembered it learning from you guys. But it didn't really hit my head that I learned it from you. It was like, I always knew that. As soon as I turned 18, I was like, okay, I need to open a credit card. I need to start building my credit, but I need to pay it off right away. And, like, it was very, like, built in. You know?
I do remember that moment when I borrowed $5 from you, and you were reluctant. You go, no, I don't want to give away the money. Then mom explained to you, but listen, we're going to pay you back with interest. What that means is you get this, and you get $6, and you go, okay, here, borrow 10. Yeah.
Was this a premeditated lesson, or did you really need $5?
I really need $5.
That's fine.
Yeah. He did that a few times, too.
That's how bad it was, you know.
And every time he wanted to borrow money, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, she had no problem with knowing the fact that she was going to get interest off of that. And another thing, and I don't know if you remember this, when we were searching for our forever home, which is that I explained to you and Dane, we need to buckle down, and this is what we've got to do. This is what we're trying to do, is we want to get this house, a house. So that's when me and mom went on the hunt, and, you know, opening up the papers in those days. I don't know if a lot of people have papers these days.
No, there's apps and stuff. Yeah.
We're looking on the concept. Sunday paper, you know, because here it's, you know, the home section. Sunday papers were always thick, and you pulled out the cartoons, at least I did, pull out the cartoons to read, and then plus that home thing where I had all that list of houses, and then I'd go on the hunt. Looking for the house. But I did explain to you kids that, hey, we got to buckle down. We're not going to be doing these things because we're trying to save money.
You would explain that on New Year's Day, like New Year's Eve, New Year's resolutions. You would always go over, you know, it was like a family discussion on our drive back from LA. You know, okay, well, our goal is to do this, and we're going to buckle down because whatever.
And then a story on New Year's was, what did I always tell you on New Year's Eve?
You have to start with money in your pocket.
Yeah, so I always gave you like a dollar.
Well, depending on if he was high or not. If he was high, we got $100. Very
good. I'm sure I never had $100.
Or $20. We got $20.
I had to borrow five from her first.
But really, sober, six. If we hadn't gotten to him, if he was still sober, we got $1. But wait a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get a few Heinekens in him, and then... Got 20.
We did sacrifice a lot, and I'm glad your lives turned out the way they did. You're successful, and as I told your friends the other night, that I'm very proud of you, and I know that it hasn't always been that way.
That you weren't always proud of me?
No, that I ever said anything
to
you.
Yeah, that you ever said anything.
That's a fact. I never gave you the recognition that you deserved. Because the time wasn't right for me to tell you, or the opportunity wasn't right to tell you, or I just didn't tell you. Whereas, maybe I told your brother a little bit more because I coached him and I had to motivate him. So I had to pump him up and say things. I'm proud of you. So he would say, okay, now I'll be better.
So dad taught you more financial stuff than I did.
Yeah.
And I taught you more like
emotional.
Yes. And if you remember when you were really young, you're getting ready for a bath, I think. And you said, Mommy, what does dick mean?
And I taught her about that. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
I go, just wait till you meet your husband.
Yeah. There's one. So
I had to teach her, stuff like
the derogatory.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know all about dicks now.
Hey, thank you.
And I found the best one. She said, make sure when you get older.
Yeah.
Thank you, Darcy. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. But no, she heard it on the playground or something. Somebody called somebody a dick. And so she wanted to know, why are they calling him a dick?
And I appreciate your guys' open door policy as parents. I can tell you right now that anything sexual with my parents was not discussed in the household and completely shamed out of your head, which I don't think is the best way to handle it. And I love my parents. It's not really a knock. It's just
right. It's different ways.
It can be awkward, and I understand that. And there's just different ways of going about it. But I appreciate the openness that you guys have.
Yeah. Well, especially with her the questions that she would always ask. You don't want to sit there and lie to her and make up some bullshit answer. She would sit there and stare at you like, no, I don't think so.
So I'm a really good bullshit detector.
Yeah. I mean, even when she was little, and I was pregnant with Dane, so she was only four, asking about how the baby get in there. So I would tell her the honest truth up to a point, because she was too young to understand everything, right? So she'd wait a few years, and then she would say, well, ask another question on that baby going in there and that's coming cute. Out. And
I did have a lot of questions she about did that.
Yeah. With the openness, your comment about that, we always were open in a two-way street communication with the kids was because for us, specifically me, I didn't speak to my parents. I didn't want them knowing what we were doing. It wasn't like, hey, Mom, what's going on? This is what happened in school today. By the way, my nuts itch. We didn't have that conversation.
No way.
We could have those conversations with Nikki and Dale. it itches. So but we didn't talk to our parents. But so and going back to earlier, I tried to do things that, didn't happen for me. I want it to be easier for them. And as parents going forward, any parent really wants their kids to have the next level up.
Yeah.
So you fill them in down here and say that, you can bypass this step because we're going to provide that to you.
Yeah.
These are the dangers or whatever, and this is the funniness about it, and you can talk to us. That was never offered to us to talk because our parents, the Darcy's, because, they were separated, but my dad wasn't home because of circumstances. He was in the U.S. Navy, so he was gone. And my mom, as a result, had to work, and she worked 45 minutes away. So, she had to hustle to get back to us, late and be tired and all that stuff. So they just really weren't physically there to talk to and share things with. And so that openness is why for me, I push that with our kids to talk to them and do things with them and to know their friends.
Yeah, for another thing, really good at that.
To know their friends is because I preached to the kids that, hey, when you go over to your friend's house, don't just go to the room and, go screw around and do whatever. Say hi to the parents. Say, hey, Mrs. So-and-so. Hey, Mr. So-and-so. Be their friend. Let them know. Twofold.
Yeah.
Because you're acknowledging the parents' presence, but the fact is, then, they're going to, let you get away with stuff because of the fact that, he's one of my kids.
Right.
Even today, Dane's friends, Rudy and Thelma, you walk around, they readily admit that Dane was one of their kids. Yeah. And just like there, you know, but Nikki would go to her parent friend's house.
Yeah, I never had a
considered
problem.
Yeah, with their kid.
Yeah, with my friend's parents, I feel like I feel like they're as much a part of my life mm-hmm. as
and you
friends.
Include them with it, and life yeah. is just a lot easier because, you know, now that's one less hassle I have to deal with. I don't have to deal with that parent because that parent's strict or whatever. Or maybe the parent is strict, even mm-hmm. though you're talking to them, but at least you're acknowledging their presence. And as an adult, that's all you really want as a person, to say, hey, yeah, okay, yeah, you said hi to me.
It's
okay.
Respect.
Okay,
it's
respect. You know the story behind why he was teaching his kids this?
No.
He was dating a girl before me.
I was?
Yeah. Believe it or not.
You were the first.
There was
and there was a girl. It wasn't necessarily a girlfriend. I think he just started dating her. And she went into grandma's house and they both went straight to the back room.
Oh, no.
And so.
Not me. I was with Mustang next to my mom. She went back to the.
That would not fly in my
place
at all.
She went to the
living
room.
She did not acknowledge mom. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what did your mom tell you?
My mom looks at me and says, get her out.
Yep.
I
don't like her. Get her out. She didn't even want to meet her.
So he learned a lesson right there.
She ended up being
there.
My girlfriend for 2 years. And
so he
I don't
passed
even think
along
she ever met
lesson.
Mom.
Yeah. You just have you to suck it up. It doesn't matter you're anxious, whatever. You just got to suck it up and give respect to people.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, exactly. Just hi. Acknowledge that. And okay, that the dog's barking at me. You know, okay, I'm not going to go talk to the dog anymore. You know, I'm going to say hi to him because the dog's just going to growl. But at least I said hi to the dog. You know, hey, you know, dog knows
respect
who I am.
Dog.
Respect the dog.
Yeah.
Respect the dog.
Respect the dog. I wanted to say on your note, because I was talking about what stuck out for me with dad, with finances. But with you, I think the things that stuck out the most that you taught me, we were talking about emotions and that kind of sense. I remember specifically when I was a kid, and this happened a few times, because it took a little while to like get the lesson. I don't think it came supernaturally to me in the very beginning, but I had empathy, but when I'm watching movies and stuff, but you know, you judge people. People judge people, right? Like that's a natural thing that happens. You're like, oh, look at that girl. The guy did this, or like, I don't like that kid because he did da-da-da. Well, you would always put a spin on it. Like, I'd be like, yeah, this kid, he's a nerd. He picks his nose and he's a dork and I don't like him. And you're like, oh, well, you know, what if that kid, you know, goes home and he doesn't have anyone to talk to? And you would build this whole story. And it's not even like, that's not even that person's backstory. But what if,
the
you
kid
know,
probably
just,
does suck.
Just to look, just to look at, to look at all the perspectives, you know, someone, you know, even begging for money on the street, you know, to look from like their perspective, like you don't know what that person's background was or how they ended up there, and to not judge people right away, like a snap judgment of, oh, like you're just a this type of person, like you like look at all angles of it. And I think that you did that when I was a kid. And I remember growing up sometimes to my detriment, giving people benefit of the doubt, because I didn't want to go with my first initial judgment of them. And in some ways it helped a lot, like empathy wise, it helped a lot. But then sometimes I'm like, I should have gone with my gut instinct. But you know, it does help full picture. Before I ever judge something, I look at all possible angles of who that person is. And the second thing that you taught me that always stuck was when I asked you about drugs. I never did drugs. And people are always like, you know, my friends right now, they have teenagers. I have specific friends that, you know, have teenagers, and they're like, you know, their kids are getting into that age where they think they might be smoking pot or whatever. And they're freaking out because they're like, I don't want to tell them like, no, but I don't. And like, because I smoked pot before, and like, I don't want them like to get the wrong idea, but I don't want them to, you know, go down a bad path. And I remember when I talked to you, you were very like, yeah, I did that. Here's why I didn't like it, you know, and like you were very, you just told me all the reasons why you didn't like it or why you never did a certain drug. Like I never did that drug because my friend did this or whatever. Like I did cocaine once and I wouldn't stop talking, and then it wasn't fun at all. And I was like, oh, that sounds like shit. That doesn't sound like fun. And so you kind of, without telling me, don't do drugs. You just made it sound like shit. And then I was like, and I got to choose whether I wanted to have a shitty time or not. And I was like, well, I don't want to choose the shitty time. So I just, everyone else would be doing drugs and I'd just be babysitting them.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot of parents are like, how do I approach that situation? And I think that open door policy is good. Not, you know, still having that line of like, you're still a parent, you know, you're not a best friend, but being able to be honest without like getting mad. I think a lot of parents like don't know how to talk about the subject. So they just get mad.
Yeah.
And like, just don't do it because I said so. Don't do it.
That doesn't help.
And it doesn't help. So that was really good.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
I remember something else that I used to tell you too, because you used to freak out about a lot of things.
Me?
In school.
Yeah.
And I would have to calm you down. It was, what's the worst thing that can happen to you?
Yeah.
If you did not pick up your books out of your locker room.
I left my books in my locker.
So she was freaking out.
So I couldn't do my homework.
She's still the same.
She's still locked.
She's still the same way.
I'm still the same.
And so I would have to calmly tell her, okay, think about what the worst case scenario is. The worst case scenario is you don't do your homework. Is that so bad? Is it that bad? No. So, but what we can do is we can go to the school to see if maybe we can, because they used to lock up lockers. Yeah. We can go to the school, see if it's still open or if a janitor. But if they're not there, the worst case scenario, you don't do your homework for one day. It's not that bad. So always think about, okay, what's the worst case scenario? Okay, I could live with that.
Darcy, I love you.
I love you too, Steve.
She didn't learn that at all.
The lesson was not taken in.
That's right. It was given
failure.
It was not absorbed.
That's the worst thing that happened. Is you didn't learn it.
This chick wakes up on the edge of a fucking cliff every single day. And yeah, all I can say is, if you let go, you are not falling off of a cliff. You are not on the edge of a cliff. And I can say that as much as I like, but until she kind of
she still thinks she is.
Yep. Nothing I can do. Nothing I can do.
True. Sorry. Okay. I take.
But no, it's a great lesson. Yeah. If only she could be receptive of that.
And on that note, we are done.
Last question. Okay, yes. We are done though. But I am actually curious about what your guys' thoughts are on this, especially you guys. If me and Nikki do not have kids, what do you think we will regret?
Oh, that's not a great question.
Yeah. You won't know.
Oh, shit.
That's true. You don't have that to compare to.
You have nothing to compare to.
You guys have, you know, you get to come stay with us. You get to go hang at home and Dane comes over with Archer and stuff. Like,
the thing that you will miss out is that you will never know the different kind of love that you have for your kids. It's this. See, now I'm going to talk.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, it's great.
That's what you miss out. There is such a different kind of love for your kids. And stop it.
I'm not crying.
I'm not crying. You're crying. That's what you would miss out. But you won't know that. So you won't have regrets. You know, like I said, you won't know that until you have kids. It's just pure joy. But there's also pure hell too.
The limits, you for me, it would be you wouldn't experience what your limits of patience is.
Yeah.
Because you do have to be patient. You wouldn't experience the joys. Because there are higher and higher joys that, you know, just we're so proud of Nikki that's a joy in itself. So maybe you might not experience that.
By the way, we've said on the show before, because that's a powerful word, especially for me hearing from him. Because we've said on the show before, like, you know, I didn't get a lot of that growing up, but in some ways it built a lot of character, you know, because I'm always like trying to get this thing, you know, that I don't think I have yet.
Yeah.
The first time you said that, I was 26 years old. And it was in New York. And it was right before we were going to the red carpet event.
Right.
Yeah. And so you wanted to mess up my makeup right
before. Yeah. So you were trying to attain this unattainable goal that now you have attained that goal. Life's over.
Now I'm done. Yeah.
Game's over.
I say this all the time. We've been having existential crisis episodes because I'm like, I think I did it. I beat the game.
Yeah.
I think I'm done. I'm good. I can go now. I think, except for the kid thing where I'm like, I think I could live without it. So right. I'm good.
Yeah. You'll miss the physical being shit on at birth. So
yeah.
I'm seeing that from my neighbor just had a kid.
It's a good sell.
We're seeing that pretty close and personal.
Yeah. The new parents aren't selling us too hard.
No, that is the best birth control
Hanging around other kids. Other parents that other have parents, new kids.
They don't get any sleep. Yeah. They don't. Though it is rough and rocky.
I see them on walks, though. Yeah. I call them weary walks.
For us, though, we've already attained a goal as well. You know, I'm Papa. And she's grandmother.
Yeah.
So don't need you.
True.
Exactly. Very fair.
Are there any other things you're learning now that you're like, oh, damn, that's a new one?
Learning from
Archer.
Archer?
Yeah, well, experiences and Archer and this new phase of life.
It's kind of, it's hard to tell right now because we're in that funky schedule.
You're in the middle of it.
I'm in the trenches.
Yeah.
I'm in the trenches.
It's hard to reflect.
Well, because, you know, most grandparents, they see their grandkids for a few hours at a time and don't
I'm learning how to be more patient. You know, how to,
I'd say this is the most patient I've ever seen you.
Let's let that go. But he does.
Oh, he tests.
He
the
pushes
limit.
It.
He does push me.
Even me, the one that never gets.
Like I told you the other day, and I won't admit it on camera what I did. You know that how upset I got, and so Dane may pick up on this, and now he's gonna say, "Dad, what happened?"
It's very scary.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Hung him upside down.
Put him in a seed bag.
Put him in a seed bag. He does fit in there.
Yeah, put him in the palm
tree. And we do have palm trees.
With change, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we have.
Thank you.
Check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/sticky. Buy whatever we told you to buy. It helps us show out a lot.
Yeah. And if you need some taxes done in Santa Barbara.
Santa Lemus, there. CPA.
CPA.
Boom.
Right there. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.